Well, it'll be a really great experience. I mean, the last 2 years have been a great experience, but doing the final homecoming show, my final show of the 2019 season with our entire Navy Marine Corps team, is just be the culmination of a really great, rewarding 2 years with Blue Angels. It's always special to get a flyover Pensacola, whether it's Pensacola Beach in the summer or our Pensacola home show, because it's a home game and it just brings a little extra to it every single time.
It's a home game. That was Jeff Mullins, the outgoing slot pilot number 4 for the Blue Angels last November. And unfortunately, we have some bad news for you. Joining us now to deliver it in person, news on the basis of what to expect with the Blue Angels homecoming air show coming up this November. Joining us now, we have Captain Tim Kinsella, Lucky call sign. He is the commanding officer at NAS Pensacola. Lucky, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. We all know it has been a very, very, very challenging year for the base, and we're going to get the bad stuff out of the way right here in the beginning. What do you have to tell us about the homecoming air show?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Andrew. It's always great to talk to you. It's always great to be on your show. It's very, very hard to say this, really, that we've had to cancel the air show. We know how important this is to community and how important it is to the Navy community, not just the greater Pensacola community. But it was a tough call, but in the end, I think it was the right call for our people and the community. We don't make these decisions in a vacuum. It's a huge undertaking to do the air show. It involves many moving parts. So we had to take all those things into consideration and make the best decision that we felt we could for the people involved and for the community. And we want to do this as early as possible so folks could prepare, so they're not making plane tickets to come out here, travel arrangements, and the greater community, especially the businesses, could prepare for it. So it's a tough call, but we feel confident that was the right call.
Yeah, and look, as you said, and I respect this and appreciate the fact that you made the call very early. Unlike, you know, with the beach show, there was a lot of will it, won't it, right up to the last moment, really. I mean, we were making plans for the broadcast and everything else, and, you know, that was its own set of challenges. But with this, you've got to think about all of the different vendors, all of the different contracts, all of the pieces that go into it. And there's no expectation at this moment that anything is really substantially going to change between now and November in terms of the prevalence and the difficulties of this disease. So I understand. Now, how much of this decision was connected with the fact that the base even still is on sort of a dual status unavailability to civilians, partially because of security concerns stemming from the December attack and partially from coronavirus? Was that also a big part of your decision?
We primarily made the decision in the coronavirus kind of realm. That was the arena that we were talking about, that we were making it in. And we have to make those decisions based on the information, just like you said, just on the information that we have here and now. And I cannot predict in a crystal ball what's going to look like 3-4 months from now. And luckily, I mean, you're absolutely right. You talked about those contracting deadlines and things, and they almost did us a favor, because as we're backing up against those contracting deadlines, we've got to make a decision so we don't put people in monetary risk and financial risk early on. But to answer your question, it was really done within the coronavirus kind of realm.
That makes sense. And I got it. And I know you, I know your staff and obviously the Blues. And if there had been any way to make it happen, I am sure you guys would have found a way to make it happen. That this really was we hate to make this decision, but sometimes you have to make the decision that you know is right, even though everything in you yearns for the opposite. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, since day one, when we started in this coronavirus environment, my team and myself have been racking our brains, coming up with all sorts of different plans, courses of actions to how we can do the air show, because we wanted to do it. We wanted to get it done. It's so important for us and for the community, but it just, we couldn't come up with a good answer and a good way to do it, and the decision kind of made itself.
All right, I'm gonna throw you a wild curveball. Okay. I know the answer here is 99% no, but this is sometimes my brain works this way, and I have to ask you the question. The Blue Angels Recreation Area when you're heading into that area, now that's not on the base, it's, you know, affiliated base territory, but it's not on the base, obviously. When you're heading over into that Blue Angels recreation area, you drive past on that long, you know, bendy, I mean, it's 90 degree angles, access road. You drive past an abandoned old airfield. I think it's Bronson Field is the name of it. And it's just wide open, unmaintained concrete. I had the wild thought, would there be a way, this is way back early in the virus, I thought, is there, would there be any way to use that space as the where people could congregate and maintain more distance without having to come on the base, and then maybe have an air show oriented toward, now, again, I know the answer has to be no, but I'm like, there's that 1% in me that's hoping that something like that might be a consideration.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm always reluctant to make snap decisions in public, especially on public radio.
Sure. And I won't hold you to anything, okay? I want, none of us will.
Yeah. But actually, to be honest, we looked at that. We really did. We looked at lots of different venues and where we could do it. We looked at, we thought about even doing it just over the bay so folks could stand on the shoreline.
Yeah.
We looked, you know, we looked at so many places to do it, but when you really get down into the nitty-gritty and the details, it just didn't afford itself the possibility of doing it. It just didn't look like. And there's a lot of rules and regulations that we have to follow, and contracting rules, and those kind of muddy the waters a bit, and they make it a lot more complicated than what it would seem at first glance.
Yeah, Andrew's imagination is pretty nimble with waving my wand and making a thing happen. The rules and regulations that the commanding officer of a major naval installation have to operate under are a little different. I appreciate that. But it's encouraging to me that you guys did try to consider even some very unorthodox solutions, and, you know, none of them really held up in the long run. One of the things I did want to ask, because it is relevant to this question, a lot of people had kind of made the comment to me, well, I don't know how they were going to do the air show anyway, since people still can't come on base. Now, that goes back all the way, of course, to the terrorist attack in December. Do we have any expectation even now of when that review might be finished, when we might get a change of access? Because we still want to be able to come, like, to the museum, even with limited access. You know, anything like that?
Yep. I will tell you that is forefront in our leadership's mind and forefront in my mind. And I can't give you a timeline because it's unfortunately now it's been really tied to the coronavirus. The restrictions have slowed everything down. And even away, if we took the terrorist attack away and that didn't happen, which of course we wish it didn't happen, but if that didn't happen, we'd still be kind of shut down where we are. Now, I don't even like using the word shutdown because they're basically still operating, but we wouldn't be as available to the public as we have been in the past because of the coronavirus. So I would say that is really the long pole in the tent, is getting through the coronavirus. And when we see a significant decrease in cases nationwide, I think is when we'll start seeing a movement towards getting the base back to what people are used to seeing.
Okay, so at this point, what we're really looking at something likely a little bit more long-term than any of us hope, because coronavirus is driving the conversation at the moment. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Yeah, I'd say that. And just so you understand, or folks understand, too, about our kind of stance in the military, and especially here on the base with the coronavirus. As you know, the military has a zero margin for failure. We have a profound sense of duty to protect this nation, and this base is an important part of that. If you know, we've got between 5,000 to 7,000 students going through here at any one time, and any one of those students doesn't get through on time, then that means that a billet is not being filled on a ship at sea on deployment or a squadron or whatever it may be. So our absolute priority is to protect that kind of that factory line of folks coming in and leaving. So here on the base, when we do that, when we shut down the base, we're trying to put a lot of those folks in a bubble. They're coming from boot camp on chartered aircraft. They land here, they go straight into school, and then they go from the school again on chartered aircraft out to wherever it is that they got to go. And the protocols that we put in place have been extraordinarily successful because we're able to keep those folks in the bubble. And whenever you have a successful system going, anytime you enter a free radical or another variable into it, it's going to mess it up. So that's what we're trying to do, is to not add those variables in to that kind of bubble, that system that we have. And that's the real reason why we're...
And that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, I'm glad you made that explanation, because that's a reminder that the base exists for the naval mission, and that doing things the way you're doing right now with COVID-19 is working and maintaining that mission, and that has to be the priority. So I really appreciate that explanation. Tim Kinsella, Captain Kinsella, is the commanding officer at NAS Pensacola. Thank you so much for the time this morning, Captain, and we look forward to talking to you again soon, and certainly we look forward to better circumstances as soon as that's possible.
Thanks, Andrew. It's always a pleasure to talk to you anytime.